singing a little hymn over and over again for the last couple of days. I'm not going to sing it for you. But there's an old hymn that we used to sing in church a lot of times. We would sing it during men's prayer meeting a lot because we had a real heavy set gentleman. He was probably, he was a big man. I mean, he would stand up and he had a really high-pitched voice for a man of his size. And he would just sing, "Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands in your name." And that was the only words to the song, and he would just keep singing it. And then he would go into, "Lord, tune me your instrument, an instrument of worship." If we understood what God has created us to be and what God has given us the ability to be through him, it would not be difficult for us to give him praise. I want to give God praise this afternoon because he's been so good unto me. If this is your first time here, I want to thank you for coming and welcome you. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate everyone being here. I do have a few announcements that I want to make, and I want you to pay very close attention. As Brother Brad has already mentioned, next Sunday, so 7 days from today, which will be July the 6th, here in Ashtabula, we are doing something for the first time. We are having an Ashtabula only service. I'm also calling it an independent service based on the fact that next weekend is Independence Day weekend. Pastor Arderi, who I give honor to this morning, and his wife jokingly says that we are trying to be independent of the tyranny of Pastor Arderi. That's not what we're trying to do. But we are going to have a service next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday. We will be starting that service at 11 o'clock. Everybody say that with me, 11 o'clock. Just next Sunday. We are not changing our service time from this point forward to 11 o'clock. This is a one-time thing, and it is going to be next Sunday. If you come at 1 o'clock next Sunday, you are going to hit the altar more than you ever have because you're going to think the rapture took place because there's not going to be anybody here. So I want you to noise it abroad next Sunday, 11 o'clock. Now, at about 10:15 next Sunday, we are going to have fellowship before service like we do now. We'll have coffee and refreshments, and I strongly encourage all of you not only to attend that, but bring somebody with you. If you haven't already, I have flyers here that you can pass out that have that information on them. Also, if you are on social media, we are advertising it on social media. I would love nothing more than to see this house full next Sunday with people that don't go to Jefferson or to Conneaut. Now, when I say that, people kind of get the wrong idea, so I wanted to explain this. By us having an independent service and us beginning to grasp the concept that this church and the membership of this church need to begin to stand on our own 2 feet, we are not breaking away from anything. We are actually empowering the other 2 campuses. Let me be very plain. By giving people more time where they can focus on their ministries rather than Sundays, do you know that you're sitting in a room right now with people that have been on the road since about 7:30 this morning, and they won't get done with church until about 7:30 tonight? Because after this service, they're going to scramble to find something to eat, and then they're going to be in Conneaut at 5 o'clock and lead worship, and some of them are going to be the ministers, and some of them are going to be the ones running the sound and doing that, and every Sunday that tires them out. Also, think of it this way. We have a campus in Conneaut that has service at 5 o'clock or 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. Imagine what would help them if they could move that service earlier into the day, where those people didn't feel that they needed to assist us as much, and they could maybe move their service to 1 o'clock. I believe with everything in me, at that point, their attendance would double at least. So what we are trying to do is we are not in any way trying to break free from Jefferson. I love Jefferson. If you don't know this, I go to Jefferson every Sunday morning, and that is where I get fed because that is where my pastor preaches. Yes, I am under submission to Pastor Arderi. He is my pastor. So I get an opportunity on Sunday to be fed, and then if I can get full enough, maybe I can give you some of the leftovers. It benefits every person that is associated with Pentecostal Community Church in any way for us to decide that we're coming to church to serve and not to be served. Can I get an amen? Can I get a louder amen? Amen. So next week, I'm calling it ripping the Band-Aid off. Next week, we're going to find out. They're having worship practice after church today, and some of them are scared to death because Pastor Klein's going to address them before they have practice, and we've got people that are going to be in the sound room for the first time, and when you walk in next Sunday, you're going to be greeted by people that you might not know this morning, and we're excited about it. I'm excited, and the people that are going to be on the worship team, they're nervous, but we're going to do something, and I want everybody, let me be as plain as I can be, and I'm pretty plain. If you go to Jefferson and you come each Sunday to assist us, you are forbidden next week from being here. You are not invited, and if you show up, I'll meet you at the door, and if you're smaller than me, I'll escort you to your car. And if you're larger than me, I'll get somebody else to escort you to their car. We want to see what God's going to do in this place, and I'm excited about it. Say this one more time with me and noise it abroad. Everybody you talk to, 11 o'clock, only next Sunday. Be prepared. The first person that texts me this week and says, are we changing our start time to 11 o'clock every service? Next Sunday, I'm going to call you out. And we're going to lay hands on you. This is a one-time thing. I do want to say this. We mentioned social media. We have decided, with Pastor Arderi's approval and his suggestion, we have started our own YouTube channel where all of our live stream messages are. If you are watching it right now, thank you. It is called @PCC Ashtabula. It will only have our live stream on it. If you are on YouTube or you are on social media, I would ask you with everything in me, subscribe to that channel. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button. Tell us that you like it. It's a way for us to get into the community and comment. Make comments on the videos. Share them to your Facebook wall. It's a simple way. I showed them in Wednesday night Bible study before we started. I wanted to show them a little bit of the power of social media. So I made a post on my Facebook from my office before I walked out to teach Bible study. And all I asked was for people to make a comment on my social media. I said, you have 90 minutes. And then after the Bible study was over, I pulled out my phone and pulled it out. And there were dozens and dozens of comments from all over the country. And as a matter of fact, from other countries. From people that saw it. We can be global with a few pushes of the button if we desire to grow the kingdom of God. So do that with our YouTube channel. I also want to mention this, and I've mentioned it a couple times. Friday, August the 1st, here at the church, 6 o'clock in the evening till about 9 o'clock, we will have our annual community block party. We've already started the advertising with that. Sister Jasmine has helped us with some flyers. We've been in contact with a local cold treat company that's going to bring their truck here to the church and give out free treats. They're not free, but the church is going to cover that so that all of our guests can have a free treat. We're going to have invitations very soon and ask you to do some outreach to those in your neighborhood. Everybody is invited, whether you are 2 or whether you're 102. And there will be things for you to do for everybody. Come out and help us show the love of God to our community. And again, we're advertising that on social media. Are you a big social media person, Brother Mike? No. As a matter of fact, I don't like it at all. But I think sometimes, imagine what the 12 apostles would have done if they had the ability to minister just like that. I put a video up this week of me preaching a Bible study from my dining room table in 2020 during COVID. Our church shut down. We didn't have access, and my pastor asked me, he said, you seem to be able to connect with people in a certain way. He said, would you teach devotionals from your house? So we turned our dining room into a studio. What you see on the video is me sitting at a desk at my dining room table breaking the word of God. What you don't see is on my feet is my dog. To my right off the screen, are my kids fighting, playing PlayStation. Behind the iPad videoing is my wife on her phone playing video games. You can hear the traffic outside. You can hear the noise. The reason I'm saying that is while I would teach, and I would teach for about 30, 35 minutes, we would get comments from Kenya, Pakistan. I was actually invited to Pakistan to minister the gospel through these videos. The people that we're trying to reach physically, I'm telling you right now, we don't know this, they're already watching our services. If you don't believe me, the man that's running our sound today, some of you probably have never met him. Wave your hand out there, Brother Carl. Do you know how he found our church? Google. He Googled it. I told you a couple weeks ago about my friend in real estate that wants nothing to do with serving God, said that he punched in how to be saved, and it said Acts 2:38, and he dove in a little bit more on ChatGPT, and they said, would you like to find a church that teaches you the plan of salvation according to Acts 2:38? He put yes. Do you know what church they recommended? PCC Ashtabula. We can fight it if we want, or we can say, you know what? God's opened another effectual door for us to minister to the world. So help us do that. I'm excited about that. If you would like one of these flyers, let me know, and I'll get you one before you leave today. Thank you again for coming. I do have a message that I want to talk to you today about. Thank you. And I want this to be a help to us. How many of you would be honest enough, and you don't have to raise your hand, to say sometimes in your walk with God, you struggle? Some people are willing to raise their hand. How many would you say sometimes things kind of make it difficult for you to focus spiritually? I think if we were honest, we would all say that. Well, turn with me in your Bibles real quick and stand. I want to read a verse of scripture in your hearing to take a lesson, thought. And I want to talk to you, and I want to be cognizant of time today about something that's been on my heart for a little bit, and I want to talk to you about. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. When you have Genesis chapter 3, you can say amen. We're going to start reading at verse 17 and read down through verse 19. Genesis 3 and 17 says this, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." It says, because you hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of, cursed is the ground for your sake, and in sorrow you're going to eat from that ground all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. I want to talk to you for a little bit of space of time. Please give me your attention. Don't have your mind wander into what's going on. I want to speak to you about the battle with the thorns. The battle with the thorns. Brother Matthew, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this message?
Gracious Father, Lord, we've gathered here together today, and Lord, we've sang your praises, Lord, we've lifted your name on high. But God, we've settled into this place, Lord, expecting a mighty move from you, O Lord. God, to hear your voice, Lord, and to see your face. God, we ask that that exact thing happens here today. God, that as Pastor Klein brings forth the word, God, your blessing falls upon the message, Lord, that every word he speaks is anointed from you, O God. Lord, and that it falls on the ears of those that are willing to listen. Lord, to set aside the distractions of the day or what they're going to do tomorrow and focus on you today, O Lord, and what you have for your people. God, I ask this message, Lord, whether it steps on our toes or it's encouraging, God, that it falls where it falls, Lord, not because of our will, but because of your will is higher than ours, O God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've already done and what you are going to do in this place today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated if you'll clap the person next to you, shake their hand, and tell them how pretty they are and how happy you are to see them in church. Don't lie right in church. If they're not pretty, just say you're happy to see them. Before we get started, I want you to get comfortable, but I want to tell you, Sister Chantel brought this up in prayer, but I want to even go a little bit further in how much of a miracle it is as what is to happen, and I just told him this earlier in the service. We've heard in this service that through the prayers of the saints and God moving, Brother Chris Brown, after 30 years of not being able to work due to things and complications with epilepsy, his doctor has cleared him to go back to work. That is a miracle. Here's even more of a miracle, especially in 2025. Brother Chris is excited to be able to go back to work. That's a miracle nowadays. Most people, I heard a joke one time, and I'm going to say it, and then we're going to move on. Jesus walked into a room, and there was a blind man. And Jesus walked up to the blind man, he laid his hands on him, and immediately he could see. The man started to shout and praise God. Right next to him was a deaf man. Jesus walked up to him, didn't say a word, laid his hand upon him, and boom, he said, I can hear, and began to praise God. There was a third man sitting next to them, and Jesus began to make his way towards him. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, the man said, stop! I'm on workman's comp. All right, let's get to the lesson. Some of you now are like, all right, listen, another word that jerk says. I'm going to talk to you this morning. Adam and Eve were put into paradise. God created the Garden of Eden, and he looked down upon his creation, and he said, behold, it is very good. God gave them one rule. He gave them one regulation. He gave them one standard. He said, the tree that is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of that tree, because in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. We know the story as Bible readers. Eve, one time, is out somewhere in the garden, and the serpent, being more subtle than any beast of the field, comes up to her and says, thou shalt not surely die if you eat of the fruit. She takes and partakes of the fruit. She goes to her husband and gives him. He partakes of the fruit, and immediately communion with God is broken. That's where we pick up with what we read today. The Lord comes down and says, Adam, where are you? He can't find him because Adam and Eve have hid themselves because they know spiritually they're not where they need to be with God. And God begins to speak to them and ask them what they've done, and they all begin to pass the buck. Adam says, well, it was the woman. She made me do it. And the woman says, well, it was the serpent. And God says, you know what? I'm going to take care of all three of you. He curses the serpent and tells the serpent, from this day forward, you will lick dust and travel upon your belly, and your head is going to be bruised by the heel of the human beings. He tells Eve that with this sorrow, you will now deliver your children and with travail. The other thing he tells them that women don't like nowadays, and let me preach it, and maybe one man will get on my side. He said, from this point forward, your affection will be towards your husband, and he will rule over thee. You ever wonder why these women are in relationships and they shouldn't be in them and the man rules them? It's because of this right here, because God said from this day forward. But then he moves on to Adam and he says, because you hearkened unto the voice of your wife and you disobeyed what I commanded you to do, from this moment forward and all the days of your life, cursed is the ground because of your disobedience. How many in here hate weed whacking? Thank Adam. How many in here hate landscaping? Thank Adam. How many in here today are dreading the fact that it's 946 degrees outside again today and you've got 3 hours of yard work when you get home? Thank Adam. The Lord said, from this day forward, thorns and thistles, in the sweat of your face will you eat from the ground. I came over here this week. Brother Chris and I have been tag teaming trying to get some landscaping done. So I didn't have to work this week, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come over and I'm going to prove to everybody that it's not that hot out. Everybody's complaining about the heat. So I'm going to come over and I'm going to do some landscaping around the church. So I did. And I'm an idiot. Because it was so hot, I saw visions that had nothing to do with Jesus. I had safety glasses on. I got the trimmers out. And I'm like, I'm going to do all these hedges. So I got in there and I was gusto. Boy, I'm doing it. I waited even a little bit later into the day so I wouldn't have, you know, upset the neighbors. And I'm out there hedging. First one, I'm like, see, I told you this is easy. Second one, I'm like, yeah. Third one, I'm like, man, my hip is hurting. The vibration, that thing, I'm trying to stand one way. I'm trying to get down. Then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was mosquitoes, chiggers, whatever it was, up underneath my pants, biting my ankles. Then the sweat started. So I'm like, I'm smart. I got older in my wise age. You got to take breaks. So I'm like, I'll go sit in my car. I'll turn the air conditioning on, cool my body temperature down, rejuvenate, head back out. I started to cool down, and then the sweat started. Then I got out, and it literally looked like I was watching a sad movie. It just wouldn't stop. I had my safety, I'm like, I had sunscreen in my eyes trying to get it done. Finally, after about 2 hours, I'm like, we can get to this tomorrow. It ain't like we got to do it. But Rome wasn't built in a day. I came back the next morning, the same thing. Finally, I texted Brother Chris. I'm like, I did all I can do. The rest of it's on you. Thank you. But all of that is because of Adam. The Lord cursed the ground, and he said, thorns and thistles now will meet you when you try to create bread from the ground. I want him to give you two. Thorns were a part of the curse from God for Adam's choice. Say that with me, choice. Adam chose to listen to the voice of his wife over the voice of God. God spoke directly to Adam and said, do not eat of that tree. And Eve said, eat and partake. And Adam chose his wife over God. And because of that, the ground was cursed. I want you to consider a couple points, and then we're going to get to the New Testament about what I really want to talk about, the battle with thorns. The Lord said that this is going to be an issue all the days of thy life. Do you understand that when you come to live for God, you have now signed up for a battle that will last your whole entire life? I don't want to say it word for word, but there's a quote that I read a long time ago that has always stuck with me. It said, Christianity has never been tried and found not to work. But what it has been is found difficult and then not tried. If you live for God, it works. If you don't, a lot of people say, I can't because of everything that I have to give up. The Lord said, this will be this way all the days of thy life. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. The thorns will not completely prevent you from eating. The thorns will not cause you to be lost. But the thorns are going to make everything that you try to do for God much more difficult than they need to be. How many of you cut grass like me? You get it done perfectly, and you cut the grass before you weed whack. And then you have it all done, and you look, and you're like, oh, them lines are so straight. But then you look over in the border, and there it is. It's like half of a haircut. They got the sides done real good, but they didn't touch the top, and you look like a bush. And you're like, I don't want to do the weed whacking. I don't want to do the weed whacking. But if you don't do the weed whacking, as soon as your wife pulls in the driveway, she's like, the yard looks terrible. And you're like, why didn't God curse you and make you go out there and do the weed whacking? It doesn't make it impossible. The thorns don't make it impossible. Let me tell you something, and let me be plain right off the bat. If you want to live for God, you can. But if you want to live with the thorns, you're going to battle every day of your life. Turn with me to the book of Mark. This is where I really want to take what I want to talk to you about. Mark chapter 4. What we're going to read here in just a few moments is also found in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Luke chapter 8. But I took it from Mark chapter 4 because I like the way it's worded in this. This is known as the parable of the sower. How many of you have ever heard of the parable of the sower? It's in three of the four gospels, which tells you by understanding the way the Bible is written that this story is of very much importance because it's mentioned by three of the four gospel writers. But we're going to take Mark's account starting at verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. What the Lord is talking about is people. He's saying those that the birds come and take it away are those that never hear the word. those that receive it upon stony ground are those that immediately they hear it, and with joy they receive it. They get excited the first time they hear the word, but because they have no root in themselves, when the sun comes up, it scorches them, and at the first sign of opposition, they become offended by the word's sake. You ever been offended by the preacher? Blessed quietness. Some of you were right with me. You're doing this. And I said, you ever been offended by the preacher? And your eyes went like this. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. That's what the Lord's talking about. He said, the sower went out to sow. He sows the word. And he sows the word. And as he's sowing, some falls, and immediately it falls, and the birds of the air come down and take it. Doesn't even get a chance. Some falls on stony ground, and it springs up right away. You ever see weeds that spring up? Like, you get the yard perfect. You go to bed, you wake up, and you're like, they just spring up. The grass hasn't moved at all, but the weeds spring up. They don't have no roots. There's no depth to them. They just spring up. The sun will come out and scorch them. And this is what he's talking about. He said, those people are those that they receive the word. They get excited. They come into a service, and the Spirit's moving, and they just receive it. But they have no depth. So the first time something comes across that they don't like, by and by, they are offended. But this is what I want to talk to you about. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, because I believe that the vast majority of the people that are sitting in this sanctuary today and those that are watching online are in this category. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. He lists three things that we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about them because we're going to battle with these three thorns the rest of our lives. All the days of our lives, and I'm not talking about the soap opera, we will battle with these because we'll make a choice. And the choice is, do we heed to what the Word of God says, or do we heed to what we actually want to hear? Pastor Arderi said it this morning, and I want to reiterate it. Some of you struggle in your walk with God because you have too many voices in your head. Let me tell you something. If I talk to every woman in the world, I'm going to struggle in my marriage. I'm going to be plain. You can get mad at me if you want. I don't care. There's one female's opinion that matters in my life, and it's my wife's. So when she says something, I listen, usually. I don't want you to leave here and think that I'm a complete boy. I'm a man, but I'm also a married man. So sometimes I say, listen, let me act tough in public, and I'll just do what you – I'll do it. But just let me act like I don't have to do it. And she'll be like, okay. And I'm like, all right. One time we got into an argument. Now, this was many years ago, and she does not do this, so do not yell at her for this. This was prior to church. We were at an outdoor event, and I have two older brothers, and they're married. And we're competitive brothers. And we got into an argument, my wife and I said something to her in front of everybody. And her reaction was, she slapped me in the face. For real. Just immediately. And I stopped and I was standing there. I was fuming mad. We were on one side of Niles. I just started walking real fast. I walked all the way home. I walked over the bridge from the other side of Niles, over the bridge. It's about 6 miles. I got there in about 4 minutes because that's how I was walking. During the walk, both of my brothers left the event that we were at, drove over the bridge so that they could see me walking, and rolled down the window and like, ah! I just kept walking. It took me so long to get home. By the time I got home, she was home from the event. I walked into the house. I said, don't talk. I have something to say. I said, I'm sorry for what I did. Don't ever smack me in my face again. There's something about a man getting, like my mom smacked me in my mouth. No one else ever going to punch me before. I said, don't ever do that again. But if you're going to, please don't do it in front of my brothers. I still, to this day, my brothers will be like, yeah, you're a tough preacher. Your wife slapped you right in your face. You didn't do nothing. I believe that the vast majority of us sit right in verse 19. Will you give me permission to preach to you today? Because if you don't want to hear it, you're not going to hear it. Many of us struggle in our walk with God because the word is choked out by thorns. Those thorns, just like in the Bible, they're not going to completely prevent you. They can't make you be lost, but they can make your walk so much more difficult. The voices that you allow into your head, some of you come to church. Listen, let me be plain. You come to church, you hear good word, Pastor Arderi preaches you good word, and you believe it, and you leave motivated, you leave encouraged, you leave inspired, and you walk back to your home, and let me be real plain, you get on YouTube, you get on Facebook, you get on Instagram, you get on Snapchat, and all these other nonsense things that we take time with, and you listen to denominational preachers that are good orators, and they confuse you spiritually. I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost now, and you wonder why you're constantly struggling. You're listening to Trinitarian preachers that are preaching falsehood to you, but they preach it in a way that's soothing to your ears, and you wonder why you struggle. A good gardener leaves no spot in the garden for weeds and thorns, because he knows what they do to the plants. You want to live for God? You can. But the thorns are going to be a battle every day of your life. I know you guys don't like plain preaching, but if you want to get somewhere with God and you're in an infancy with your walk, it would benefit you to turn off the Trinity Broadcast Network and quit watching denominational preachers that are choking the word right out of your life, regardless of how nice their suit is and how big their congregation is. You need to believe in the word. You're in a battle with the thorns, whether you like it or not. They're going to be here for the rest of your life. And if you're going to eat the bread, you're going to eat it with the sweat of your face. Living for God is not all rainbows and rose petals. Sometimes it's deep in prayer. Sometimes it's intercession in the Holy Ghost with words that cannot even be uttered. Sometimes it's fasting and denying your flesh. But if you desire to eat the good of the land, the thorns cannot, they cannot stop you. But your choices can. I want to read that one more time, verse 19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. Let's talk about thorn number one, the cares of this world. Anybody have cares in this world? Anybody doesn't? Is there anybody in here who's like, man, I ain't got a care in the world? You ever say that? I don't have a care in the world. If you do, if you're serious, if you're on, you don't have a care in the world, you're the preacher. Teach me something. Let's read a couple verses. Psalms 127 and 2. It says this: "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so giveth he his beloved sleep." Do you guys believe that? How many of you slept good last night? For some reason, I was telling them earlier, I did. I went to bed early. I fell asleep at 9, which usually means I'll get up way earlier. I slept right till 5, sound asleep. Didn't even know. I asked my wife this morning, when did you come to bed? Didn't even hear or feel or get into bed. Great night's sleep. It's not always that way. Matter of fact, it's very rarely that way. You know why? Because the cares of this world. You go to sleep, you're a parent, you start thinking about them kids. If you're a grandparent, you start thinking about them grandkids. If you have a job, you start thinking about that. You got bills, you start thinking about that. And Bible says, though, this: it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and eat the bread of sorrows. You give 3 hours of sleep up because you sit upstairs or sit up all night thinking about it. What good did it do you? All it did was make you tireder for the next day. That's what the Bible says. Turn with me to Luke 21 and 34. Read this with me. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares." You ever spend a whole day worrying about life, worrying about the cares of life, worrying about family dynamic, worrying about relationship problems, and at the end of the day, you lay your head down and you're like, you know what? I didn't spend 1 second in prayer. I didn't spend 1 minute in the Word of God. I didn't spend 1 second counting my blessings. The Bible says, take heed to yourselves. Because the cares of life will overcome you so strongly that the day of God will approach and you ain't even paying attention. That's thorn number one. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5 and 7. What's this say? "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now we make a choice, just like Adam made a choice. The Bible said the cares of this world are a thorn that will choke out the word of God. You can take your cares to the Lord. But the way they used to sing it in the old time, the old ways they used to sing, the hymns they used to sing, they'd say, take it to the Lord and leave it there. We get into a service like this, we get all jacked up, the preacher gives an altar call, we come up and we're hoping that a preacher will lay hands on us and prophesy over us and say and give us a word and give us a word and give us a word, and he comes and gives us a word and we get so excited, oh, he spoke the word to me, and we pick the same problem that we left at the altar up and we take it back home with us. And before we get out of the parking lot, we're talking about the issue that we should have left at the altar. And it becomes a thorn. And it chokes you. It doesn't suffocate you. It just makes it much more difficult. Let's go to thorn number two. Who in here's ready to get rich? Who in here's ready for the message? I'm going to preach the three biblical principles of sowing and reaping. And we're going to take a $1,000 offering. And if you sow $1,000 today, I'm going to guarantee you, according to the word of God, I'm going to give you some holy anointing oil. And you can take it home and you can anoint your bed with it in the name of Jesus Christ and God. And them knuckleheads are rich as can be. The Bible says the thorns that will choke you are the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. How many of you, be honest, it's in church and God won't strike you dead. I know you already know the scripture, but how many in here love money? How many in here are liars? If you don't love it, I'm going to give away $1,000 right now. I would have to get prayer because you would run me over. I was taught this from the day I was born, and I'll teach this till the day I die. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you having money. The Lord actually said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is not God's will for you to be destitute and driving around in a rattle trap car and not knowing where your next meal is coming from. It is not wrong for you to have money, but it is 135 million percent wrong for money to have you. There's a deceitfulness to riches. I'm going to read it to you according to the Word of God. Turn with me. 1 Timothy 6 and 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. If you take a survey of the most unhappy people in the world, at the top of that survey, more often than not, are the ultra wealthy. How many of you remember a man named Howard Hughes? If you study his life, he was a gazillionaire in his time. He died insane. He would rent out whole hotels. Not one room. He'd rent the whole hotel because he was concerned that everybody was trying to kill him. He lost his mind. He was always worried about his money, putting another security system into place. The things that we think that we want, if I can just get to this next level, if I could just get to this next level, if God would just bless me enough to get to this level. I know it's not scripture, but if you do a little research, I've done it before, because I'm a person that works and tries to make a living and tries to provide for my family, and it helps when you have a little bump in that and it goes up a little bit. But if you ever study research and data, they go to every segment of our population, and they ask them, so if you go to someone that's making $7.50 an hour, and you say, what would you need to be comfortable? You know what the answer is 99% of the time? It's double whatever they already have. Someone making $7.50 an hour firmly believes that if they could make $15 an hour, they'd be set for life. But if you go to the person that's making $15 an hour and ask them, their answer is $30 an hour. And if you go to the person making $30 an hour, their answer is $60 an hour. And if you go to the person making $60, it's $120, and so on, and so on, and so on. Because we believe in the deceitfulness of riches. But the scripture, put that one back up, Brother Carl. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Has the pursuit of money ever cost anybody in their walk with God? It has with me. I took a job as a restaurant manager to provide for my family. And in so doing, I worked every Friday, every Saturday, and every Sunday. And I made more money than I ever made. And my spiritual strength was as weak as it has ever been. That thorn did not prevent me from going to heaven. It did not cause me to be lost. But it made everything in my walk with God more unnecessarily difficult. Turn with me to Proverbs 23 and 5. One more. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. How many of you can say amen to that? How many of you have ever saved up and got to that point, you had that little nest egg, and you finally, you made it. You had worked, and you had planned, and you had scrimped, and you had saved, and you got that nest egg, and you were listening to Dave Ramsey, and you were all excited, and you got to a certain point, and you're like, whew, and then all of a sudden life happened, and your furnace went out. Let me give you my example, and if you can't tell, I'm still bitter about it. My wife and I scrimped our whole marriage. We both worked. We still both work. And we got to a point, I told her, I said, for our 25th wedding anniversary, we are going on a cruise to Alaska. It's where I've always wanted to go. It's 7 days. You fly out to Seattle. You can either take the boat 7 days up and bring the train back or take the train up and bring the boat back. I wanted to go because I wanted to see two things in the wild. I wanted to see a polar bear in the wild, and I wanted to see Sarah Palin in the wild. Listen, let's move on from that. We got the money. We started making more money. You notice when your kids get a little bit older, they don't need as much from you. So you can kind of, I had an old preacher tell me, I used to evangelize for an old preacher one time. He said, when you're young, all you have is kids. Once you can get rid of those kids, money starts finding you. So we started finding money. We started socking it away. I'm old school. You know how I am with technology? I'm the same way with banks. I had an envelope in my sock drawer, vacation fund. I'd get paid. I go, slip a little in there. I'm talking thousands of dollars. We're up there. I'm just getting ready to make the call. And guess what? Life happened. One of my sons comes home, and he says, Dad, I bought an engagement ring. All right, congratulations. Go talk to your mom. A week later, my other son, I bought an engagement ring. I said, when's this going to take place? They start scheming between the two of them. Who can ask quicker? My older son, who was dating his girlfriend a lot longer, finds out through social media that my younger son went to an Indians game and posted it on Facebook that he asked his wife to marry him, and she said yes. My other son literally came to me and goes, how long do I have to wait? I said, you got to give him at least a week. You can't steal her thunder that fast. A week later, he asks. So guess what Dad gets to do? He gets to take his vacation fund, where it was going to be me and her and no kids. They call that heavenly vacation. And he pays down payments on halls to have receptions for his two children. Do I regret it? You want me to be spiritual and say no because I love my daughter-in-laws. Yes, I regret it. There's a thing called the justice of the peace for a reason. We could have went to Pizza Hut after. I said all that to say this. If you focus all the time on money, the Bible says you scrimp and you save to put your money into a bag with holes. It takes your focus off the Word of God. Here's the last one, thorn number three, the lust of other things. These aren't sins, and I don't want to spend much time. I want to talk to you, though. How many of you love your family? How many of you love your career? How many of you love, this is the thing that I think is making the church struggle more than anything else in the world, and you're expecting me to say it's the devil and his power. How many of you love pleasure? Some of you are you're straight lying in the house of God. How many of you love misery? Got almost the same number of hands. The lust of other things. These things are not sins. I am not telling you that your family and spending time with your family is a sin. I'm not telling you that your career is a sin. I'm not telling you that working is a sin. I'm not telling you that enjoying the fruit of your labor is a sin. As a matter of fact, I could take you to scripture after scripture after scripture that teaches you that if you do work, you should enjoy the fruits of your labor. That if you have a family, you should spend time with them. That if you have a career, the Bible says that you should work heartily unto your employer here as if you're working unto the Lord. You shouldn't be a bum. You should not be. The Bible says if you don't work, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel and you shouldn't eat. So don't leave here and twist Brother Mike's words, but let's be adults for 1 minute and realize and be truthful. Have you ever had to make a choice? My son ran track and cross country his whole life. He was so committed to being good at cross country and track that he stopped drinking anything but water. He watched his diet. And listen, we're apostolic, and I'm old school apostolic. I'm holiness apostolic, so I want you to know where I'm coming from. They ran in temperatures like this, and I required my son to wear long pants. I required him to wear a shirt underneath his track outfit. I want you to know what I'm talking about. And my son would run 6, 7, 8 miles a day every day of his life. I can show you the pictures. In the winter, he would go out in the snow. He would come home and his eyelashes would be frozen together. But he had to get his mileage in to keep his legs where they needed to be. In his senior year, his track team, he was on a race, a team called the 4x800. They would run 2 laps each and hand off a baton. There would be 4 of them run it. And they got bumped up to Division I that year, which means they ran against the biggest teams in the state, the St. Ignatiuses of the world, the St. Edwards of the world, the Mentors of the world. And we went to the district championship. And it was on a Thursday, and we didn't have Bible study on Thursday, so I went and got to watch. And they won the district championship, which qualified them to run at regionals at Austintown Fitch High School. They ran against Akron St. Vincent St. Mary. They ran against Cleveland Glenville. They ran against all these teams. And they went in with the 3rd fastest time. They had to qualify in the first 4, and they would make it to state. His whole life, 12 years of training into 1 race. And they announced that regionals would be on Wednesday evening. We had Bible study Wednesday evening. So I'm going to tell you right now, I had a choice to make. I'm not a preacher that would tell you if you went, you're going to split hell wide open. I'm not that preacher. So I started to strongly consider. I brought forth my strong reasons in my prayer life. And God never okayed me to go. So I told my wife. My wife said, I'm going to the race. I said, I'm going to church. The day that my granddaughter was just born was a Wednesday, most of you know. I sat in that hospital room all day yelling at that daughter that I had to pay for her, that I just told you about. And she went into the longest labor in the history of humanity. We're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. It sounded just like that. Don't even turn that off for a minute. Listen to that. Over the intercom, when a baby's born, they play a lullaby. So we're sitting there, we'd hear one. We'd hear one. I waited until about 5 o'clock. We were in Boardman, Ohio. It takes over an hour to get here from Boardman, Ohio. I got in the car and I started making good time to get the Bible study. 5 minutes into the trip, my wife called me and said, the lullaby just went off. You just missed it. Can we be adults for a minute? If I'd have stayed in that hospital, is there anybody here willing to raise your hand and say, I would have broken a cardinal rule and God would have cast me into a devil's hell? There's not one of you, I don't think. Is there one of you that said it wouldn't have hurt you to miss a Wednesday night Bible study to watch your son run? Is there anybody? You're going to have a choice to make just like Adam did. You can live for God if you want to. The Word of God can become alive in your life if you want it to. Or you can reserve a spot in the garden of your heart for the weeds. I'm not standing before you telling you that if you do, you're going to be lost, because I'm not here to tell you that. But I am here to tell you with 100% surety that if you do, your walk with God for the rest of your life will be more difficult than it needs to be. You've got a battle with the thorns. You can obey the voice of your wife if you want to. She changed one word. God said, thou shalt surely die. The serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. Preach unto us smooth things, preacher. I'm telling you that if you want to live for God, you can. And if you don't, you can find all the excuses that you want. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things will choke the Word of God right out of your life. I took a job when I worked in Lordstown. I sat down. I was in the union. I was in the UAW for many years. They came to me and they said, we'd like to make you a supervisor. You have tendencies to be a supervisor, which means you're an idiot. They don't promote you until you prove that you're dumb enough to be promoted. Some of you are like, that's how they are with preachers too. So I took the paperwork home. It was a nice rise raise. I sat down with my wife. I said, should I take this job? And she said, this is the job that dreams are made of. I remember signing my contract in the stall of the bathroom at work on the floor the day that I had to make my decision, because I could never come to it. I signed it and turned it in. A week after I signed it, I tried to go back into the union. They said, if you do, you lose all of your seniority. They immediately put me on 6/12s. I got paid all that overtime. I made unbelievable money. Well, God blessed you. It came at the sacrifice of missing church. If you want to live for God, I'm not up here telling you how easy it's going to be. There's going to be some decisions that you're going to have to make that are going to rub against the grain. But I'm telling you, the reward is worth it, because the Bible says that the sower continued to sow, and some fell on good ground, and it brought forth 30 and 60 and 100-fold. I'm telling you, when you make a commitment to God and living for Him, the thorns are still going to be there. You're still going to battle, but He, the Bible says, will lift up a standard against the flood of the adversary that comes after your soul. I know this wasn't what you expected, and I promise next Sunday I'm going to have a more joyful, uplifting message, hopefully because we have a lot of guests. But I am tired of seeing the church struggle because of the tricks of the adversary and not calling them out for what they are. Some of the thorns in your life are not under your control, but most of them are. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm done. They can start beginning to come to the music and we're going to close. The deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. Second Timothy 3:4, if you would put that up, Carl, and we'll close on that. Talking about the end time, it says there's going to be people that are this. I'm not focused on the beginning, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. You know, the Bible talks about sin and says the pleasures of sin only endure for a season. Now, when we get super spiritual, we try to act like sin isn't pleasurable. It sure is while you're doing it. But the end thereof is death. I wonder if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that God has spoken to during this lesson that will say, you know what? Today, I'm making a choice and I'm going to battle back in the garden of my soul. Right now, it's overgrown. There's thorns and there's thistles, and my mind is never clear. The only time I get any peace is when I come to church, and then when I leave, I walk back out into a hell that I can't stand, and there's cares of life, and there's money issues, and there's family issues, and there's riches issues, and there's a lust of other things. My mind, when I'm sitting here, I'm wishing I was at the lake. I'm wishing I was with my family. I'm wishing I was playing pickleball. I'm wishing I was doing all these things. I want to serve God. There's something deep down in me, but my mind is just so befuddled. It's always focused on all these other things. I need to find this. I need to get my relationship with my kids back. I need to get over this divorce. I need to do this. I need to do that. It's a trick of the adversary. It's the thorns and thistles by obeying voices that we shouldn't listen to when God is saying, if you will draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. He said, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The answer to what you're facing is not wrestling more with the thorns. It's coming and saying, God, I want to be obedient to you. Is there anybody this morning that's at the point where says, you know what? I'm sick of these thorns. I'm sick of my mind being worked up all the time. I'm sick of being double-minded. I'm sick of being confused. I'm tired of it. I'm making a change today. Today is the day of salvation. As they begin to play and sing, the church can stand. I think it'd be time today if all of us, I know some of you, it's not your practice. You leave as soon as I'm done. I wonder if there's some people that want to come and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. I know we're not running around the building, and I know we're not swinging and shouting and screaming at the top of our lungs, but the Spirit of the Lord is here to talk to you. The Spirit of the Lord is here to help you. Let's battle these weeds. Let's battle these thistles. Let's battle these thorns. We're going to have them, but we can be overcomers. We can have a more victorious walk with God if we'll heed to his voice. This altar's open if you want to pray.
Worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you,
Jesus.
to worship you I live, to worship you I live, I live to worship you. Oh, to worship you I live, to worship you I live, I live to worship you. Oh, oh, oh. To worship you I live.
I want those that are praying to continue to pray. Take all the time that you need. The Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And a lot of times that we think that that scripture is written to the world when it's actually written to the church. This was an adult message today. And only you can answer the question. You know. You know right now where your walk with God is. You know the level of your spiritual walk with God. You know right now that if the trumpet sounded this afternoon, you know whether you would go or not. As a minister of the gospel, my job is to heed a warning. Those weeds, those thorns, and those thistles, they cannot stop you. You can still make it. The Bible says with God, all things are possible. But why on earth would you struggle more than you need to? Battle those thorns. Battle those things in your mind. Take them to God in prayer. Keep your mind and your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Control what comes into these ears and let it be what thus saith the word of the Lord. And one of these days, if we're willing and obedient, we're going to eat the good of the land. I thank you for your attention. Remember all the announcements. Next week we will be starting at 11 for one service only. Also, what I failed to mention, here at the church, we have changed our weekly church corporate prayer. It used to be Fridays at 7. We are now having it Monday evenings from 5:30 to 6:30. If you can't make it at 5:30, but you can make it at 6, come at 6. If you can make it at 5:30 but have to leave at 6, come at 5:30 and leave at 6. The church that will choose to pray together will be the church that stays together. Tomorrow evening, you are all invited to come be in a season of prayer with us. I thank you for your attention. Enjoy the rest of your day. I love you. I love what God's trying to do. Let's all just link arms and be a part of a move of God here in Ashtabula. And you need to be a part of that. Let's go to him in prayer right now and be dismissed. Lord Jesus, this afternoon we appreciate you. We love you, God, for your presence that was in this house. Continue to speak to hearts and minds, Lord. Continue to be a God that sits up high and looks down low. You know exactly where we are. God, I ask you to minister to each individual, Lord. Anoint them, Lord. Prosper them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Heal them, God. Just be God in their lives, Lord, as we battle these thorns that are in our lives. Help and give us the strength, Lord, that we need every day to walk closer to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for your attention. Love one another. You are dismissed at this time.